Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The college football championship game takes place in Atlanta tonight. Number 3 Georgia faces number 4 Alabama. President Trump is even expected at the game. Aside from all the cheering fans, college sports attract a lot of money, which can cause a lot of problems. NPR's Only a Game explored the darker side of college sports in an hour-long special show titled Power, Money, and Corruption, the story of the NCAA. Martin Kessler and Shira Springer helped write, report, and produce the show, and they're with me in the studio. Hello to both of you.
Hello, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
So, Shira, let's start with the money. Schools that are athletic powerhouses make more than $100 million a year off their sports programs, and the college sports industry brings in about $10 billion a year in annual revenue. How does that affect the overall landscape?
Yeah, well, the root of the problem is clearly all the money that's out there, and that's where you get all the opportunity for corruption and exploitation. It's really about who gets the money. And you know who gets the money? The schools and the coaches. Now, let's be clear here. The athletes do get scholarships. The NCAA likes to talk about how schools annually provide $2.9 billion in athletic scholarships to 150,000 athletes. But consider this. Georgia coach Kirby Smart stands to collect $1.45 million in bonuses because his team is appearing in the national championship game. And that's on top of the nearly $4 million he already makes. So you've got these coaches who are making a lot, these colleges that are making a lot, and there's a real power imbalance, and that leaves the players vulnerable. It's also worth mentioning that their scholarships are not guaranteed for 4 years. They have to be renewed every year. And that's another part of the power money imbalance, because if a better player comes in at your position or if you get injured, you could be out of your scholarship and, quite frankly, possibly out of a college education as well.
And Martin, you looked at this from the student athletes' perspective. What did they say?
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, just as Shira mentioned, they're starting to sort of notice this power imbalance more and more. And you know, we profiled one player on this episode. His name was Kyle Hardrick, and he was.
And this was so heartbreaking. It was absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah, he was a former University of Oklahoma basketball player, and I think his story sort of illustrates, you know, that this power imbalance can lead to really sad outcomes. And what happened to him was he was this top recruit, but he ended up getting injured his freshman year, and ultimately ended up losing his scholarship. And this was a kid who was, you know, had such promise. And he ended up dropping out of college, and his family has had to cover his lingering, you know, health costs. And he's now working in the oil fields near Odessa, Texas. And I talked to his mom, Valerie, and she's pretty worried about Kyle.
I worry about him. I wake up in the middle of the night dreaming that I walk in the door and he's hanging, or he shot himself because he's that depressed. You know, and then when basketball season comes around, oh, that's even worse.
And then I think it's also worth noting here that the majority of men's basketball and football players, the ones who are generating all of this money, are Black, while the majority of the people in power who are deciding whose scholarships get renewed are white.
And I think it's also worth saying, just to put some statistics behind that, more than 50% of college basketball and football players are Black.
And for the show, you talked about this with Washington Post sports columnist Kevin Blackistone, and he's done a lot of thinking about this. What did he tell you, Shira?
Yeah, well, Kevin Blackistone had some scathing criticism. Here's what he said.
Sets it up as a sort of plantation system where you have workers who work the crops that bring in all the revenue to the overseers. It may be a strong commentary, but I think it's an apt comparison.
Hmm. Yeah.
And ouch.
Yeah, exactly. And from my reporting, I think that's pretty accurate because, again, we're getting back to that power and money imbalance. Because without the talent, without the players that people are going to pay to see in stadiums, without networks who are going to pay to see this talent compete, you're not bringing in the loads of money that these colleges are bringing in. And so I think, you know, to give you some numbers for perspective, for tonight's game, the average ticket price, according to StubHub, has been $2,689. And that's not far off from the average Super Bowl ticket price Exactly. You know, which ranges between or has ranged between $3,500 and $4,100. Now, college players get scholarships. NFL players make millions upon millions of dollars.
Yeah, and I think it's also interesting to see some of the other ways that, you know, race is caught up in this whole issue. There was a 2014 poll from the Washington Post and ABC News, which found that the majority of white respondents do not want to see college athletes getting paid a salary, whereas the majority of non-whites did, in fact, favor. 51% of non-whites favored seeing college athletes get paid. So you can see that race is really intertwined in this issue, both in terms of who's participating in these sports and then also how people view these issues.
So let's just back up a little bit. How did it get to this point? I mean, it certainly probably wasn't the intent of the NCAA to insist that college athletes stay amateur. So what happened?
Yeah, right. It's really interesting. You know, you'll hear a lot of people who want to keep the system the way it is, they support this idea of amateurism. They like the idea that the players are just doing this for the love of the game. And Only a Game senior producer Karen Given sort of looked into the roots of that. Where does this love for this amateur ideal come from? And what she found was that it sort of goes back a long way to sort of the Industrial Revolution. And what she found was around that time, you know, middle and upper class people were sort of worried that men were becoming soft. They no longer had to use their bodies for work as much. So they saw sort of sports as a way to preserve their strength. And that's how sort of football became intertwined with the higher education system. And the idea was, you know, these middle and upper class kids are going to play football to get this moral education. And they don't need any money. This is for moral reasons. And so, you know, it was all about just doing it for the love of the game. No one would get paid.
Oh, or it also gives them opportunities to make it to the pros, right?
That's
an argument as well, right?
I mean, that's a big argument and sort of a troubling argument and in some ways because families are kind of betting on their children when they gear, you know, their young lives towards success in football or success in basketball. And it's interesting because we also talked to Washington Post columnist Kevin Blackstone about this as well and the effect on families of this college sports culture, particularly on black families. And here's what Blackstone said.
This is a issue that affects black families more directly than anyone. When we see black families putting so much emphasis on the athletic development of their children, particularly black males, because they are lured by the athletic system at a very young age, it's a big, big problem.
So I wonder, you know, some other industries may make similar arguments that the workers obviously make much less than the executives, and there's a growing gap, right, between top management and the folks actually carrying out the work. This can be translated to a lot of different industries right now. So I'm wondering, what do folks say about changing that in the future and how that might change? Are athletes fighting for changes? I mean, what did you find out in your reporting?
Yeah, and I should say here, too, that, you know, there are a lot of college athletes who don't want the system to change. They say they're just happy getting their athletic scholarships. But then there does seem to be a growing number of athletes who do want to see the system change. So what are they doing? You know, there have been class action lawsuits, but that hasn't resulted in any major changes. You may remember the Northwestern football team tried to unionize a few years back, but that didn't work out. But there's one idea that people think really could make change, and that's a boycott. So I want you to imagine, you know, tonight's game, there are thousands of people at the stadium, ESPN is ready to broadcast it. But then imagine that the Alabama and Georgia players just decide not to play. They say, we're not going to play unless you guys give us a bigger piece of this pie. A lot of people think that could make a difference, but, you know, that's counting on these 18 to 22-year-olds to make a big personal sacrifice to just, you know, they've made it to the championship. I don't think it's very likely that they're just going to stay in the locker room and not play.
Yeah, and their livelihoods are potentially at stake because right. This is basically an audition for their NFL careers. I think a more likely scenario is that we're coming to a point where we're going to have to pay college players. And there have already been some people, some economists, some lawyers out there, some people who are deeply concerned with the future of college sports that are drawing up a business plan where players would get paid and seeing if they can find an investor to pay for that type of system and just put it out there as sort of a NCAA cartel busting idea. I don't know if their business plan will be the business plan that takes root, but I think sort of like the Olympics had to reckon with amateurism and the amateur ideal not working and not being feasible with all the money out there, NCAA is going to have to reckon with the amateur ideal and how it just is not a fit for where college sports is today with all the money flooding in.
Okay. Shira Springer and Martin Kessler talking about their reporting on college sports. You can find a link to the full hour Only a Game NCAA special program on our website. Shira, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Martin, thank you as well.
Thanks so much.